Whenever you hear the song Waka Africa by Manu Dibango, then it's time for African Perspectives. Welcome to African Perspectives, the show dedicated to the music of and issues about the African continent and Africans in Georgia and the entire Southeast. I am your host, Akilo Yojo. As they say amongst the Kwanyama people in the heart of Namibia, Southern Africa, Oyemwakpo. Welcome to African Perspectives, our precious time together to add value to the idea of the mother continent through music and words. Even as it continues to be an anxiety-filled period for the world, it is a delight to be with you again for our weekly gathering and celebration of Africa and Africans. The world continues to adapt to the impact of the coronavirus pandemic and the health guidelines to stop its deadly spread. But despite the pandemic and all the other crises going on in the world, it is our first show in September. We hope that we are all paying attention to the ever-changing news about the COVID-19 infections, the hospitalization, and death across the globe. These worrisome numbers represent losses of loved ones by people across the world. Our heartfelt sympathy goes to all those dealing with the loss of loved ones in this country and around the world. We are also praying for healing for those hospitalized, and we ask for continued protection for all students in our listening area. Those who are already back in school, as well as those who are heading back to school this week, including our children in the Athens Clark County school system. We wish all of them a successful term ahead. Today's show is our Labor Day special. It marks the beginning of the ninth month of the year. And in case you do not know it, September is the best month in the year in which the world began. In between our music breaks today, we will bring you some quick African news update from Nigeria, Mali, of course, and Rwanda. Let us begin this festive show with Guinea's Masire Sila with Perempere. Enjoy.
Devenir parano dans l'autre monde, où l'on peut tous avoir ce mérite de parrainer, ouais parrainer. Tous poussés entre goudron, trottoir, rotation d'une population dans ce laboratoire. Tu sais que beaucoup trop font le plongeon, beaucoup trop de pigeons aux élections. De mon balcon, je ne vois que des corbeaux, ouais. Pour ainsi dire à tous, j'aimerais leur mettre la corde au.
Maradi, Adunia, Kamafi, Kamaradi, Nima, Rafani, Basu, Yi.
familles venant de loin qui ont crié famine et grâce à l'allium, quel bon vent nous amène ici après des semaines, cycle de vie. Cela faisait des siècles, on n'avait pas revu la sensation de profiter de tout ce qui fitait. Vraie première récompense, boulot, femme, fêté, tout ce que rien ne pourra compenser.
Welcome back to African Perspectives. It is Labor Day weekend in the United States and Canada, as both nations take a break to recognize and celebrate all the working men and women that have and continue to build these societies. Labor Day holiday is the first Monday in September, and so we send our best regards to all the diligent workers across North America. We will be celebrating Labor Day tomorrow. While everyone always seemed to enjoy the holiday that has now customarily signified the end of the summer vacation season, we celebrate the workers of North America, particularly members of the various labor unions, on the holiday which in 1882 was declared a general holiday for the laboring classes. That is, a holiday for the working class people and for labor. Interestingly, this talk of Labor Day means that it is the first weekend in the greatest month in the year, September. For us, this is the month in which the world began. We are grateful for the grace to still be here to mark the beginning of the month. Let us pray for continued protection for all of us, especially during this COVID-19 pandemic. We all must continue to struggle with and get used to all the changes in our lives due to the COVID-19 pandemic. We sincerely hope that we will all continue to take the pandemic seriously. We should all be concerned with the mounting numbers and do our best to ensure that the curve is flattened. Let us work hard to mitigate against another wave of infections in our listening area and beyond. It is not the time to assume that the worst is over with the virus. We must not begin to ignore all the guidelines from the medical experts. Wearing a mask is not a political statement, but a concern for public safety. We on our show will continue to echo the sentiment of public health officials that are fighting the pandemic. The world's hope and prayer that the COVID-19 pandemic will be fully under control by this time has unfortunately not come through. The pandemic is still ongoing, and so we must remind our listeners that the war against the COVID-19 pandemic is not yet won. We must not be confused about this fact. This is especially as the summer heat continues to disappear and we prepare for cooler seasonal weather. We must continue to observe social distancing rules in order to totally stop the spread. God will help and protect all of us. Here is our first double feature for today. First, you will listen to Samba Samba from Congo's Bopaul Masimina. This will be followed by Vamidue from the Nigerian-American band Kotoja. We will then return with some good news from the health sector in Africa relating to wild polio. We hope you enjoy these two selections. the music of Congo's Mansi Amina and Nigeria's Kotoja as we celebrate all workers this Labor Day weekend. Our first news update is a much-needed good news in the health sector in Africa. It is a welcome, uplifting news, even with the number of COVID-19 infections across the continent and the serious worry about the appearance of the Ebola virus in parts of Congo. On Tuesday, August 25th, 2020, the African continent was certified free of wild polio. It is especially encouraging to hear about this monumental global health milestone. The Africa Regional Certification Commission has declared the African continent free of endemic polio after a decades-long campaign against the disease. Nigeria, which accounted for more than half of global cases less than a decade ago, is the final African country with no more cases of wild polio. Only conflict areas of Afghanistan and Pakistan still record cases. Now the focus in Africa shifts to vaccination of all vulnerable children, most urgently in northern Nigeria. Without higher levels of immunization, children in rare cases will continue to contract polio from a weakened mutation of the virus in a vaccinated child's excrement. Poverty and poor hygiene, as well as contaminated water, raise the potential share for such spread. It is important to stress that the polio vaccine does not cause polio or infertility, and that a vaccinated child does not become ill from the vaccine. With this great news, the message from health professionals and scientists is very simple and clear. Celebrate Africa's victory against polio, accelerate the vaccination effort, spread facts, not fiction, about the vaccine, and let there be peace. We thank the spirit of the African ancestors for ensuring that the world reaches this global health milestone even in 2020. Another breaking news from the African continent is the signing of the Sudan peace deal by the Sudanese government and a coalition of rebel groups from the western region of Darfur. On Monday, August 31st, the chairman of Sudan's Transitional Sovereign Council, Abdel Fattah al-Burhan, and Sudanese Prime Minister, Abdullah Hamdok, signed a comprehensive agreement with a coalition of rebel groups from the western region of Darfur and the southern states of South Kordofan and Blue Nile. The ceremony took place in Juba, South Sudan, and was witnessed by the South Sudan leader, President Salva Kiir, whose country hosted and mediated the talks. The new agreement goes a long way in addressing the root causes of conflict in Darfur. It also charts a path to devolution of power to Sudan's peripheral regions and more equitable distribution of the national wealth and political representation among Sudan's diverse regions. Unfortunately, two large rebel groups were not part of the agreement. These were the Abdul Wahid Nor-led Darfur Movement and the main faction of the Sudan People's Liberation Movement led by Abdulaziz Al-Hil. Neither group has objected to the Juba process, which leaves room and opportunity for them to come on board eventually after more negotiations.
Anye tunya nyinina ngaloma na comment salut nous nama. Tant que l'intimement salut nous nama.
Masa faranka demenka sani tunya fo Wari faloni kana
tunya fo sa
Benyelo ni kofe
tunya fo sa
Halimuru lani kana
tunya fo sa Verite verite kwa tu kache Verite verite sauve mon peuple.
Qui est mon frère, dis la vérité.
Toi qui es ma sœur, dis la vérité.
Toi qui es mon père, dis la vérité.
Étant ma mère, dis la vérité.
Toi qui es mon époux, dis la vérité.
Président, gouverneur, dis la vérité. Député ou ministre, dis la vérité.
Tunya fola mansa te buiko kanke lentigi mansa te buiko tunya fo mansa te buiko
nana sila
kera mansa ye
tunya fosa
ikera fonta ye
tunya fosa
aliba ke bolokolo
tunya fosa
Tunya fo gelema adon fo tunya efo
Tunya fo tunya fo tunya fo sa
Tunya fo gelema adon fo tunya efo
Tunya fo tunya fo tunya fo sa Tunya fo tunya fo ite tunya fo Amena nya wonya tunya benalon
Amena nya wonya tunya benalon
Tunya fo, tell the truth. We on African Perspectives are forever set on telling the truth. The agreement that was signed last week in Juba, South Sudan, is a significant step for the return of peace in the Darfur region of Sudan, especially in the states of Darfur, South Kordofan, and Blue Niles. The agreement remains very fragile, but we are hoping and praying that it will hold. And that the remaining rebel groups in the region will join the peace-seeking alliance for the sake of the people of Darfur, for the sake of Sudan, and of course, for the sake of Africa. We would, however, like to see the Sudanese government reaching out and addressing the concerns of these groups that boycotted the signing agreement. They must offer a clear separation of state and religion and also condemn the weaponization of religion in Sudan. On the other hand, we sincerely hope, and however we think, that the Sudanese government would not allow the overrepresentation of these militant factions in the new government, which could ultimately become a threat to democratic dealings in Sudan, and of course might break down and cause chaos in Darfur region. We pray for continued peace in the Darfur region and in Sudan including the states of South Kordofan, Blue Niles, and Darfur. Meanwhile, a few countries further along on the Sahel, there are updates regarding the military coup in Mali. We spent most of last week's show updating you, our listeners, on the unfortunate coup d'etat in Mali. On August 27, the country's ruling military junta, the National Committee for the Salvation of the People, also known as the CNSP, released ousted President Ibrahim Keita, who had been detained for 10 days since the coup. Former Nigerian President Goodluck Jonathan, involved in talks with the CNSP, intimated that Keita's release was a signal that the junta was trying to meet some of the demands of ECOWAS to avert sanctions. ECOWAS demands include Mali's military leader must put in place an interim government with elections in 1 year's time at the latest to restore civilian rule.
Nansimbe, we matata sela, Nansimbe, usogo balega, Nansimbe, we matata sela, Nansimbe, usogo balega, Nansimbe, we matata sela, Nansimbe, usogo balega, Nansimbe, we matata sela, Nansimbe, usogo balega. Bitangene matanzeni Sithele maweni sijetjela wepapemo Sifunga seli sino sematanzeni
Iyo ngo iyo ngo loloma iyo ngo iyo ngo loloma iyo ngo
yakuma
As it is always the case when those paid to defend the nation decide to forcefully seize power, the story of the coup plotters in Mali continues to change. A now denied report that emerged after their meeting with ECOWAS representatives added that the military government wanted to put in place a 3-year transitional authority that would be led by soldiers. Meanwhile, ECOWAS has declared that it would find acceptable the idea of an interim government headed by a retired civilian or soldier for a transitional period of 6, 9, or 12 months in Mali before the organization of elections for the country. But the CNSP have also called on their own part for the lifting of ECOWAS sanctions that were in place even before the coup. The military leaders have been consulting with political and social forces as well as representatives of the international community, such as the head of the UN mission in Mali, Mr. Mohamed Saleh Amadiv, and as well as ambassadors of some key nations that are accredited in Bamako. All this with the aim of putting in place a transitional government within the shortest time possible. On Wednesday, August 26, the military leaders, for the first time, formally received members of the M5-RFP coalition that mobilized protesters against President Keita's government. Let us continue to hope that the Mali's new military leaders, the members of the National Committee for the Salvation of the People, the CNSP, will fulfill the promise that they made through one of their 5 leaders, Colonel Ismail Wagwe, that all decisions about the transition, the new government, and the formation of a transitional government will be made between Malians and the political parties, the unions, the signatory armed groups, that is those who signed the 2015 peace agreement, and civil society in Mali. We can only hope for a quick political resolution in Mali. For now, we will continue to keep you updated, even if it's going to be a few days behind the moving story.
Why did he? Futambo babam tindam tunota. Do de woni futa toro. Futambo nenam tindam tunota. Do de woni futa toro. Futambo maunam tindam tunota. Nagi sei do nuren. Alagi sei do nuren. Futa sei do maren. Alagi sei do nuren. Adeno. Yo, le, alale, yo. Mimi,
Senegal's Tuareg Kunda with Wadini on African Perspectives coming to you on WUGA. The coronavirus has greatly affected every aspect of life, not only in our area, but across the nation and across the world. As with the university and other institutions around the country, the pandemic has significantly affected the activities of the African Studies Institute at UGA. While the institute is physically open and holding classes using the iFlex hybrid format, most of ASI's programming for the fall semester will be either virtually or postponed until next fall. We invite our listeners to visit the African Studies Institute's current website, afrstu.uga.edu, or to send an email to the institute at asi@uga.edu, and the phone number to call in case you need more information is 706-542-5314. We'll be sharing more information on some of these virtual programs being planned by the Institute as the date of each event becomes close. These events, of course, will include the Institute's bi-weekly Akpero Africana Brown Bag Lecture, the monthly Afrowood film screening, a scheduled virtual African Studies Institute open house in September, and the fall lecture scheduled for October. We once again wish the students, faculty, and staff affiliated with the African Studies Institute at the University of Georgia a great and wonderful semester, even during this pandemic. Our best wishes extend to the entire University of Georgia campus. It is tough getting used to the current situation, but this too shall pass. Our final African news update on today's show is coming from Rwanda, and it is a little bit disturbing, given the person involved. Paul Rusesabagina, who saved hundreds of Rwandans during the 1994 genocide by sheltering them in the hotel he managed and saw his story made into the film Hotel Rwanda, has been arrested on terror-related offenses, according to Rwanda authorities. Mr. Rusesabagina gained prominence during the 1994 Rwanda genocide by saving hundreds of lives. Around 800,000 Tutsis and moderate Hutus were killed in the genocide, which was led by Hutu extremists. At this time, he was the manager at the Miles Collins Hotel, where he hid and sheltered people. Rusesabagina moved abroad after the genocide and won worldwide acclaim, receiving the U.S. Highest Civilian Award, the Presidential Medal of Freedom, in 2005. He also wrote a memoir, An Ordinary Man. Rwanda's Bureau of Investigation announced that the hero was now in their custody after being arrested through international cooperation. An international warrant was issued for his arrest and is currently in police custody in Kigali, Rwanda's capital. Rusesabagina, 66, is accused of being the founder, leader, and sponsor of violent armed extremist terror outfit operating out of various places in the region and abroad. He faces several charges, including terrorism, financing of terrorism, arson, kidnap, and murder. His supporters and Mr. Rusesabagina himself have long maintained that he became a target of Paul Kagame's government after he sustained criticism of the government and the conduct of the Rwanda Patriotic Front in ending the genocide in 1994. This, dear listeners, is indeed a disturbing piece of news, and we can only hope that these charges are bogus charges. But from the treatment and display of the accused around the capital of Kigali, it appears very, very serious.
It's Pata Pata time. The music keeps going all night long till the morning sun begins to shine up.
Mokili papa, oh, mouvaye, nawe.
Ata, yeah,
As we round up today's show, we send our best regards to all the students returning to school during these challenging times, including students in the Athens Clark County school system. We wish them a safe and protected return to school, as well as a successful and safe semester ahead. In the same spirit of goodwill, we continue to wish the best for the government and people of Mozambique as they continue to fight the insurgency in the northern part of the country. We are particularly encouraged and delighted with the increased support coming from the Southern African Development Community, SADC, in support of the Mozambique people in this fight. This will be a much-needed help in the fight against the Islamic State-sponsored insurgency in Cabo Delgado. This conflict has taken over 1,200 lives since 2017. This is as Mozambique battles COVID-19, where they have about 3,800 confirmed cases and 23 deaths, and at the same time fighting the surging cases of malaria that has killed over 365 people in the first 6 months of 2020. This is according to the Mozambique Health Ministry. We are very hopeful that all this help coming from the Southern African region will be of benefit to the Mozambican people. We hope that you will join us to continue praying for the people and government of Mozambique. Finally, on behalf of my colleague working with me to bring you African perspectives, Mr. Michael Cadden, we thank you for tuning in. For the people of Mali, we continue to hope for a quick and peaceful resolution to the military mutiny that has now transformed into a military government. For the wonderful health news out of Africa being certified free of wild polio. For students in our listening area, in parts of Africa and around the world, we are heading back to school, either in person or virtually. For the breakthrough that will occur in the fight against COVID-19 virus at some point. And finally, for you, our long-term listeners, who have been joining us weekly for the last 23 years, we thank God for Africa and Africans. Whatever we do, we will not forget Africa. That'll be all for now. The views and opinions expressed on African perspectives do not necessarily reflect those of this station, the University of Georgia, or the Georgia Public Broadcasting. Thank you for tuning in to African Perspectives on WUGA. On behalf of the African Perspectives team, I have been your host, Akinleye Ojo, calling all Africans to the spirit of Ijumaa. A happy Labor Day tomorrow to all of our listeners as we celebrate workers in our area and across North America. On today's show, we brought you news updates from Mali, Rwanda, and Nigeria, where on August 25th, the African continent was certified free of wild polio. We hope you've enjoyed today's show. If so, tune in next week for our third listeners' appreciation show for the year on another edition of African Perspectives. Until then, I say Odigba, Kwaeri, Sanjima, Kachifo, Kombe, Subonana, Tiwanesa, Uriti, Denawalu, and Solong.